hear from the guardian? Is there anything to hear from the guardian ad litem or from the child?
I'm sorry. Mr. Harmon, were you the guardian ad litem in the last case?
I was, Your Honor.
Okay.
You
maybe, well,
do you have any
does anybody want to hear from Mr. Harmon? You may be excused then.
Here for the child.
Okay. We'll begin with In Re Interest of Gabriella H. then and Ms. Kedershaw Risco. Good morning again.
Good morning again.
With the burning question, does the county attorney represent you in these proceedings?
No. The county attorney does not represent the Department of Health and Human Services. The county attorney represents the state of Nebraska.
Well, aren't you part of the state of Nebraska?
We are part of the state of Nebraska, but we are a separate agency. And if you look at the statute that is at issue in both the prior case and the Gabriella H. case, the statute specifically says that the relinquishment may be made to the Department of Health and Human Services, not to the state of Nebraska. And I think it's very important to look at that statute. It provides specifically...
Then why don't you file these actions yourself? Why do you go to the county attorney's office?
For a variety of reasons. I guess I can't answer that because I don't know why the system was set up originally that the county attorney is the one who files. I think it's because the action itself on behalf of the child is on behalf of the state of Nebraska. The county attorney represents the state of Nebraska.
Is this an adversarial proceeding?
Yes, sir.
A juvenile court proceeding?
You just defined a potential conflict now between the department and the county attorney in whether or not you can agree about what the county attorney is doing in these actions, aren't you?
You know, and that's, I mean, the reality of it is there are a lot of cases where what the department wants to do and is the position that the department is taking is not the same position that the county attorney is taking, which you'll see in just a moment when the county attorney gets up to argue the opposite position of what the department is arguing right now. It's the departments and the county attorney are not always on the same page and arguing for the same thing. A lot of times, especially when the cases initially come in, the department will make a recommendation, file an affidavit that a child is in harm and should be removed or that a juvenile court proceeding should be filed. The county attorney then takes that separately, reviews that decision, and makes a determination on whether or not to proceed with it on behalf of the state. As you get further into the case, it may be a situation where the county attorney on behalf of the state thinks that the case should move in one direction, where the department thinks that the case should move in a different direction.
Does the DHHS have the power to file a petition themselves?
I do not believe that the department has the power to file the initial petition. I think as we get further into an action, the department has the authority to file and does all the time motions for placement change. I believe that the statutes give the department the authority to file a termination petition. The department has taken the position that we do not want our attorneys filing terminations until we allow the county attorney's office to file those. So I think the statutes would allow
us. And so how does the juvenile court handle that when the county attorney's position and the HHS are in conflict? Does that drive them absolutely bonkers?
Oh, I'm sure it probably does. But that
I mean, when to give notice to HHS is claiming in some of these cases that we weren't given notice. Well, when are they supposed to be given notice?
Well,
I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, if I'm a juvenile court judge, what am I supposed to do?
And I believe that the department, whenever a child has been placed into the department's care and custody, the department should be given notice. Quite frankly, there are a lot of situations in which the department's legal department is not provided with direct notice. Oftentimes, the notices go to the caseworker or the supervisor on the case.
Well, that's DHHS's fault, the problem.
It may be an internal problem. The notices from the court, at least in Douglas County, generally go to the worker instead of to the attorney.
Okay, but that's really not an issue in this case. Let's get to this case.
Yeah,
in this case, we have an adjudication.
We have an adjudication.
Followed by a relinquishment by the parent.
A request to relinquish by the parent.
Well, a written relinquishment.
I believe I don't know that the parents have actually given a written relinquishment in this case yet.
All right,
they have indicated their desire to do so.
And then an indication by the department that it was not going
that
to accept.
That it will not accept.
And an order by the judge saying, yes, you will accept.
Saying that. You will accept.
And you're saying that the juvenile court doesn't have the power to do that.
To tell us that we must accept it. And it's really the same ground. The wording of the statute is that the relinquishment is to the Department of Health and Human Services, not to the state, not to the juvenile court. Likewise, there is no language in the statute that says that the department must accept a relinquishment by and with the assent of the court. If the legislature really intended that this was not within the sole discretion of the department whether or not to accept the relinquishment, there's a lot of things that the legislature could have done. They could have added that language, that by and with the assent of the court. They could have worded it clearly that that a relinquishment could be made to the court itself rather than to the department. It could have said that the court makes the decision on whether it will be accepted or not rather than saying that the requirement that it be accepted be in writing by the department. That hasn't happened. So it's clear from the statute itself that it is only at the discretion of the department whether or not to accept it. Because the juvenile court has no authority or no discretion to accept a relinquishment, they likewise cannot order that we have to accept.
Here you have a biological father apparently paying substantial child support,
yes.
Whatever that is. Is that one of the policy reasons why you wouldn't want to accept a relinquishment?
That is one of the policy reasons. It is in 8-004-04, subsection 3, that a relinquishment must be in the child's best interest, and then it gives factors to consider. And one is that a relinquishment will not be done to evade judicial proceedings or child support orders. In this case, we have a father who...
Well, could you have conditional relinquishments then?
A conditional relinquishment where...
It doesn't abrogate my duty to continue to provide support for the child, but I'll give up custody.
But that's not what we're talking about here. We're not talking about giving up custody. No. In fact, this father already had given up custody. He has not had a relationship all along. This is a termination of parental rights. And again, I think it goes to the public policy that parents can't just say, I'm tired of being a parent, or this is inconvenient for me, or I don't want to support this child anymore, so I'm just going to give it up.
And yet in every juvenile case that we see, we're always talking about achieving permanency for a child whose parents, for whatever reason, are not providing the stable environment that the child needs. So is the argument that you're making now directly contrary to the underlying philosophy of abuse and neglect proceedings?
I think each case has to be looked at, the facts of the case, on an individual basis. And in this particular case, I don't think that permanency is the focus. Because nobody who's involved in this case, the county attorney, the guardian ad litem, the attorneys for the parents or the department disagree that the ideal solution for this young lady is going to be adoption. And that is what the department is working towards. However, at this point in time, there is no adoptive home for this young lady. And so we are not at a point where a relinquishment is appropriate. If we take a relinquishment now, we don't know that this young lady is going to have an adoptive home in 6 months, in 2 years, by the time she's 19.
But again, if you take that position and assume you're right, and then so we go ahead with termination proceedings and the court terminates parental rights, what happens? The child goes into the custody of the department?
She goes into the custody of the department. Again, I don't think that a termination of parental rights at this point in time would really be appropriate. And the reason is because the relinquishment is really a legal step in this case. It does not, the relinquishment itself is not going to change this young lady, this particular young lady's circumstance at all.
Does she become available for adoption?
Well, right now, She would legally be, that's right, she would legally be available for adoption. But for all intents and purposes, we are working towards adoption on this young lady right now.
I'm sorry, so you'd rather have the
have the parental rights.
You want to have a soft landing. You want to have some adoptive home lined up before you would accept a relinquishment.
Before we accept a relinquishment.
Well, you want dad to continue paying child support to you on this side of home.
Because the parent should not be allowed to evade his responsibility under this child support order.
Did you,
in this particular case.
Did you express these views to the court somehow?
Excuse me?
Did you express these views to the
juvenile
court?
Yes, we did at the hearing.
If the child's terminated, the parent's obligation to pay child support is terminated also.
Correct. That is correct.
What's your preferred sequence?
In this particular case, it would be that we find an adoptive home for this child, and this
and,
way,
and that private parental support is economic support is provided until you've identified that. Is that what you would think would be a good outcome?
Yes, that would be a good outcome in this case. And that is the situation in this case in particular. I'm not saying that there are cases where children are in very abusive situations and continuing the parental rights, despite $1 million in child support, would not be in the child's best interest. But in this particular case, this child has had the parents are not having contact, she's not having contact with them, she's not receiving anything from them but the child support, and terminating taking a relinquishment or terminating the parental rights is not going to change anything for this young lady. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Grove, good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Lindsay Grove, and on behalf of the Douglas County Attorney's Office, I represent the state of Nebraska, the appellee in this matter. As Ms. Heather Shaw-Risco stated, best interest rules here, and best interest is tied to permanency. Permanency is in this child's best interest, and that will differ case by case. In this case, permanency objective is adoption. And that's not disputed. As she stated, all parties agree, adoption is what's best for this child in this case.
Well, so what's wrong with allowing the case to remain in its current status with the parent paying child support until an adoptive home is found and this can all be resolved?
Because that policy that the department's trying to implement of doing that is stalling the case. We're not proceeding with anything. You have two parents who are not involved in the case who wish to relinquish their parental rights, and you have the department holding up moving forward with permanency by requesting that we wait to...
Is this your position that the absence of the relinquishment stalls the identification of a, let's say, adoptive home?
Not necessarily the identification of an adoptive home, but it stalls achieving permanency objective of adoption.
Why is that?
As the juvenile court pointed out in the November hearing, there's no requirement that we have an adoptive home in order for the department to accept the relinquishment. There are two.
Why does the absence of an accepted relinquishment stall the efforts to find an adoptive home?
I don't believe it does. I think the department can actively pursue looking for that home. I think that not having that home doesn't prevent them from accepting the relinquishment. It's a policy that they would like to implement, I think in part for monetary reasons. However, when you look at the issue of how the relinquishment plays into the adoptive process, you can't get to adoption without severing the parental rights, and there's only two ways to do that, the parent's relinquishment or a termination.
But is this not the case that some folks take on a foster child with the potential of adoption, a potential foster adoption?
Certainly, Your Honor.
So that the availability for adoption hasn't been declared, but
certainly,
nevertheless, the foster home is hopeful, perhaps, that will emerge.
Certainly, that could be a possibility. I would just like to point out that it's not a requirement for the department to accept relinquishment. It's not a requirement that the child be in that potential adoptive home.
All right, so where does the juvenile court get the authority to order the department to accept a relinquishment?
In the juvenile court's authority to order what's in the best interest of the child. Here that's tied to permanency, which is tied to adoption. And the only way to get to adoption here, one of the ways, is the relinquishment.
Is that your statutory authority then, best interest?
Yes, Your Honor. The juvenile court has authority through the juvenile code to order what's in the best interest of the child.
They have broad discretion in making these determinations according to case law as well, and they may liberally construe this juvenile code in order to order such.
So your office agreed to accept the relinquishment?
There has not been any relinquishment.
At this point?
At this point. We have two parents who have not been involved in this child's life for some time, who have, through their own attorney's representations, have said, we wish to relinquish our parental rights.
I guess hypothetically in the future, if you don't accept these relinquishments, will you then proceed to
trial
for termination?
Yes, because that would be the only other way for us to get this child free for adoption.
So what is the downside of terminating as opposed to relinquishing and looking for a hopeful adoption?
At this point in the case, Your Honor, it's just kind of a common sense in judicial economy.
What about the economy and the taxpayers and giving the department some discretion in these cases, and particularly here where you have somebody that's paying child support, and it will lessen the state's burden until there is an adoption lined up?
I understand Your Honor's point, but at this point in time, when you have two parents who want to relinquish, it doesn't make much sense for the state to attempt to involuntarily terminate their parental rights when, essentially, I'm, as a representative of the state, would be on the same page as the parents. We agree, let's sever these rights.
There's a financial incentive for the father here to relinquish as opposed to termination, because his obligation would end quicker.
In addition, as a matter of policy, then we would be allowing those parents, albeit irresponsibly, to control the proceedings. We're still looking at the best interest of the children. Best interest of the children will be first, and by adopting the policy that you're advocating, we would be allowing the abandoning parents to essentially control the proceedings, would we not?
I think that's speculative. I don't know why his father wants to relinquish. He's never had a relationship with his daughter. I don't know if it's an emotional reason or a financial reason that he would want to relinquish. He's never been in the picture.
That doesn't make a difference.
Well, there's one tangible thing we can grasp on right away, isn't there? That's the monetary issue.
And the monetary issue is one that has been set forth by the department. And what I would ask your honors to consider is that the department is already financially obligated to provide for this child. They want to keep the ties in place.
Financially obligated to provide for the child, but they can collect some of that obligation from the parent during the time that their obligation exists.
Yes, they can, and that's why they...
That doesn't prevent the parties from going ahead with an adoption, does it?
They're declining to accept their relinquishment at this point in time because they don't have an adoptive placement. So as long as they're on the line to financially provide for the child, they want the parent to be on the line to financially provide for the child.
Is that unreasonable?
I think it is, where it stalls permanency and best interest for the child. In order to move forward with an adoption, we need to address parental rights. And here you have two parents who are willing to relinquish their parental rights.
That ambiguity exists in a more conventional case, doesn't it, where there's a foster placement and the parents may or may not achieve their goals and plans.
Correct.
And so forth.
It won't always be a streamlined process of when the severing of the ties occurs, that the child's already in an adoptive home, and it just is seamless. Here we have a child who needs to be free for adoption. Everyone agrees that that's the permanency objective. We don't have a home for her, and so the department is using that as reasoning for not moving forward with further pursuing the adoption, which would be addressing the issue.
I think I was trying to understand this a few minutes ago. Is it the ambiguity of the child's legal status that you believe stalls the potential for adoption?
I'm sorry, I don't understand Your Honor.
Does the child the parents' rights haven't been terminated? So is that your position, that the fact that the parents' rights have not been terminated stalls the potential adoption?
Yes, Your Honor, because that has to be addressed before any potential adoption can be addressed.
Well, it does legally have to be in place. The terminations need to be in place.
Either the termination or the relinquishment.
When you initiate termination proceedings, do you sometimes have a circumstance where the parent says, I'm not going to contest this, I'm willing to relinquish?
Yes, and often they relinquish prior to us proceeding in court on the termination, and the termination is then dismissed because they've relinquished.
And in those circumstances, what happens as far as accepting the relinquishment? Who accepts?
The department has accepted the relinquishment prior to us dismissing it. Until that happens, it's not official, so to speak, and so we wouldn't dismiss our pleadings without it being official. The parental rights have been severed through the relinquishment.
So that's kind of the middle ground, and has that, you say that has occurred before, but...
In this case, we haven't got that.
Right,
that
you didn't file the terminant, right?
Correct.
But that's the natural, that'd be the natural progression.
That'd be the natural progression. And another option in this case, however, it's not one that's been pursued to this point because we've already had two parents saying they want to relinquish, and that's not common either. A lot of the times we file terminations,
right,
and that prompts a parent from saying, well, I need to address this, and I'm willing to relinquish. That hasn't happened here because this is an unusual case of two parents who have both not been involved for some time and who have both been vocal through their attorneys about not wanting to maintain that relationship as a part of the child's life and legally as a parent. And so that's why we haven't pursued the normal course of filing a termination. However, the department's unwillingness to accept those relinquishments is stalling being able to go forward with the adoption and pursue that permanency for the child. If there are no further questions, the state would respectfully request this court affirm the juvenile court's order.
Thank you. That concludes arguments for today. The court is adjourned.